Thanks, Jim. Great start. I love to just come up already crying. I just wanted to say thank you for having me here. It's just a privilege and a pleasure to be here. You know, like Jeff said, I was blessed to be in a number of moms group as my kids were growing up, and it's just a blessing that you guys could be here and just share growing up together and growing through this phase of life together. It's just such a great, rich time in your lives, and it's nice that you can share and learn from each other and learn from the Word of God what it says about raising our children in godly ways. So I'm so glad you guys are all here. I wanted to actually, if we could, I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer. Father God, you are so good and so holy, and we are just so privileged to just come into your presence today. Father, I just pray that you would be with the little ones today and their caregivers, and just bless their hearts as they are being cared for, and just that these moms could have an opportunity to just be renewed and refreshed, Lord, through your word. Father, I just pray that you would give me the words to speak, Lord, that they would bring glory and honor to you today. Father, I just thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay. I brought a picture. Couldn't find a print, so I brought a picture of my treasures in this life. This is my husband, Peter. We've been married 18 years, and me. And this is my son, Jordan. He's 14 years old. He is in eighth grade and giving us a run for our money as a teenager, but we adore him. And this is our daughter, Cassidy. She is 12 years old. She's in sixth grade. And Lucas, he's 10 years old. He's in fourth grade. So just really enjoying this time in their life. Every phase of life, like when they're little, I would say, oh, this is the best time of life. This is the best age. This is the best age. And they'd get older. This is the best age, you know. But now, you know, I'm really enjoying them. They're people, you know, that are interesting to talk to and to have their opinions, sometimes a little too many, but, you know, they're just really interesting and fun to be with right now. So every phase in your kid's life is just really a blessing. Anyway, what Jen was sharing is that the reason that, actually, Jen gave me a lot of leeway in what to talk about, and I kept praying about it. I wish she had just said something like, talk about extreme couponing or, you know, something like that, you know, but she gave me a lot of leeway in what to say. And so I was just praying about it, and God just kept directing me to tell them what I'm doing for you in your life. So in order for me to share that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I'm going through. As Jen mentioned, right now I'm battling cancer. About a year and a half ago, I had some abdominal pain, and I thought that I had a broken rib from snowboarding. And if you ever saw me snowboard, you would understand why I thought it was broken. And so they took x-rays. They didn't think anything. Come back in a month if it's bothering you. Well, it didn't go away, and so I kept going for more tests, and it ended up revealing that I have a very rare form of cancer called cholangiocarcinoma, which is bile duct cancer. It is cancer that began in the bile ducts, which begin in my liver. It's extremely rare. It's about 2,000 people a year in the U.S. get it, and about 10% of those people get the kind that I have that starts in the liver. So I don't fit any of the risk factors for it. So it was a big surprise and shock, of course, for us to get this diagnosis. Well, you know, and interestingly, I really had very, very few symptoms from it. But by the time that it was discovered, it's already stage 4B, which is the worst possible in terms of staging. And so I have these tumors that are on my liver that take up about 3/4 or 80% of my liver, and I have involvement in my lymph nodes from my thigh all the way up to my chest, and it's in both of my lungs. So it's, you know, it's pretty pervasive. And so I'm only telling you this, just more the details of it, just so I can speak to the depth of the grace of God that I am living under. Because really, you know, the type of cancer that I have in terms of medicine is not very promising. It's terminal. And the doctor had told me, you know, he won't give me a time, you know, time frame for myself, but he had told me that the median life expectancy for what I have is about a year. Well, I've known about it a year and a half, and here I'm standing before you today, just completely living under the grace of God. You know, I know that at some point, you know, at any point, things could take a turn, but I also know that God is a God of miracles, and He can and He may choose to perform a miracle, you know, with me. And that's what I'm praying for every day. I'm studying right now in my Bible study. We're studying the book of Acts, in which the early church performed a lot of miracles. And the book of Hebrews says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And He is able and willing to perform miracles. And so I don't know whether that is the will of God in my particular life. I don't believe that physical healing is the will of God for every person. I do believe that He desires spiritual healing and restoration for every person. You know, so what He chooses to do for me physically, we're just placing in the hands of God. You know, when we got first diagnosed, it was this huge shock, of course, to both my husband and I, and we had to tell the children, but we had decided right then that we were going to trust God. You know, we said we can either become angry or bitter or fearful, or we can trust the things that we know to be true about the promises that He has made. And so we're going to choose to not fear and choose to trust God in this situation. I am not saying that we don't have moments of fear, because we do. We fear for our future, our kids, you know, physically what's going to happen, who's going to take care of things. But God has been so faithful through His word. So what we did was we took some Bible verses about fear, and we just printed them up on these little cards. And every day, several times a day, my husband and I would just go through them, you know, about, you know, Joshua 1:9, you know, about not fearing, the Lord will be with you, I will go before you, you know, and just in situation after situation, how God, we're not meant to live in fear, is what it is. And because when we fear, it is showing us that it's showing me, actually, He's revealed this in me, that when I live in a life of fear, then it's showing my lack of trust in His goodnesses and His promises. So what brings me out of that state of fear always is Scripture. There is nothing that comforts like the Word of God. There's no truth like the Word of God. So if you ever feel sad or empty or depressed, one, I would really encourage you, if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would consider, maybe pray about it, maybe talk to somebody about it, so you can have assurance of what your future and your hope is for the future, as well as comfort in this life. So that is our story about how I ended up here today. Like Jen said, I sometimes write in a journal, and I was just going to read a little excerpt of one that I had written that kind of describes how we're kind of feeling our ambivalence about this situation. It says, Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities begins with the line, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." Sometimes I think this totally describes how our lives are playing out right now. It is the best of times because life is richer, fuller, funner, more connected, more genuine, and more grateful. And we see before us daily the gifts we have and the people that we are blessed to know, as well as the inexplicable peace and presence of God. At the same time, sometimes it seems that we are in a nightmare that we can't wake up from, a never-ending barrage of appointments, tests, side effects, adjustments, compromises, disappointments, and uncertainties. There have been days when I have been sidelined due to fatigue or pain, and I wonder how all the details of our lives will come together. But even in those moments when life seems too difficult, we are constantly reminded that nothing can happen to me or my family that is beyond the reach of the inescapable love of God, and that nothing can snatch us from the palm of his hand, and that he will give us the grace and strength to endure any circumstance he places us in. We are so thankful to know the peace and forgiveness of Jesus, because this gives us confidence, not fear, to face the future. In the book of John, there's a verse, and Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." What this is saying to us is that we will have trouble. And, you know, in a way, he's not saying you might have trouble, or if you're a Christian, you're going to escape difficult times. It's saying you will have trouble. And that's kind of disheartening in a way, but there is great encouragement in this verse. It says, he's saying, "I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace." He promises peace of supernatural, beyond human understanding, and he's definitely given that to us. I know that you may not be in the exact circumstance I'm in, and I hope that you are not, but you may be in a situation where you may have a difficult marriage, or, you know, experiencing betrayal of a friend, or maybe your finances are tight where it's hard to put food on the table or keep your home, or maybe there's conflict with someone at your job or at your husband's job, or maybe your parents ill, you know, or maybe some of the more everyday, you know, inconveniences of life, bickering siblings, or, you know, just rebellion in a child, or a wayward child. You know, everybody has trouble, but the promises that he gives us are the same. And he says, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." And in some versions it says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And that just is when we are struggling, it's just brought us to a place where we are on our knees, just relying completely and solely on the sufficiency of Christ. My own testimony of how I came to know Christ, it's just kind of this story of redemption in my life. When I was in Sunday school, about third grade, I had a Sunday school teacher who brought me to Christ. So at that time, God spiritually redeemed me. And so I am so thankful for teachers and people who have poured into my life. So if you are in ministry, I'm just so thankful, and you are really making a difference in other people's lives. Then when I was an adult, I had a terrible accident where I had a life-threatening accident, and the doctor said, you know, "It's a miracle that you're alive. We never see this kind of accident in someone who's alive rather than in cadavers." And so it was really the grace of God that kept me alive. And I thought to myself, what is my purpose in life? God must have kept me around for a reason, but He redeemed my life in that moment physically. You know, I still don't know what my purpose of having these extra 20 years, or maybe it is so that I could have kids that will be future ambassadors for Christ. I don't really know, but whatever his purpose is, he did redeem me. And now through this cancer, he's redeeming me from really a life of basically self-centeredness that I had. You know, he has just totally burned away a lot of the superficiality. I mean, I'm still pretty superficial, but he burned some of it away, at least, I had. I mean, he really pointed out the sin that I was living in, even though I was going to church and, you know, participating in groups and going to Mount Hermon and things. I was really living a life of self-centeredness and pride, really. And so he's redeeming me, slowly sanctifying me through a painful process of recognizing that and ridding me of that. One time, my daughter Cassidy, she lost her tooth. And when it was time to put it under her pillow, she misplaced it. She couldn't find it. So what she did was she took a piece of Kleenex and she got it wet and she tried to make a fake tooth to fool the tooth fairy. And I said, I was really tempted to put fake money under her pillow. But I took the high road and I said, okay, well, Cassidy, you know, you need to just write a note to the tooth fairy and explain what happened, and, you know, maybe she'll understand. Well, she ended up getting her money because of the note, but I just thought, you know, that is so how I am, you know, just trying to be something that I want people to think that I am, you know, and, you know, I'm Japanese, and it's just, I mean, I'm not blaming our culture, but it's just part of our culture where I just was raised to be thinking about what do other people think, you know, to be considerate of other people, to not air our dirty laundry, to, you know, just be concerned about what do people think. But I think I took that to an extreme where I became a person who lived to please man. And what other people thought of me or my family became very important to me. And including when my kids would misbehave, I would think that that was a really bad reflection on me. And so I would get mad at them that they would basically embarrass me. And so God started revealing this sin of self-centeredness to me through this cancer. It's amazing how when you think that your days are numbered, how it totally clarifies what now seems to be important and what isn't. But it's just been a blessing for me. In James, it talks about how trials, you know, bring about perseverance. And I can see through this past year and a half how God has really just grown and matured our family through this. You know, sometimes God might bring a trial into our lives so we can, either he wants to rid of us of a certain sin, or in 2 Corinthians, it talks about so that we can minister to other people. It has given me so much more of a heart of compassion for people that are suffering or sick or just in need of anything. I just was so consumed with myself that I didn't take the time to care enough about what the needs of other people were. But, you know, it's so sometimes it's ridding us of sin. Sometimes it's so we can minister to others. Sometimes it's so we can, there's an area that God wants to see us mature and grow in, and sometimes it's really just to bring about glory for himself. God does not put us through trials just for his pleasure or just randomly or
you know, it's not a coincidence. He is always doing things that would bring about our own good and his glory. So even though sometimes we may not see the fruit right here on earth, we can trust who he is and what he says about trials and about himself, to know that that is true. Just about the, just going back a step about living for the approval of man, just, I would just, as an encouragement to you, also encourage you not to be measuring yourselves or your parenting against other people, other moms, other parents, other families. So-and-so is taking violin at age 3 and speaks Mandarin and French and, you know, and can play piano. And our culture, our worldly values built into us just such a desire to want to impress people. But there is always going to be someone better than you, than your child. There's always going to be someone worse. You know, there's, you know, maybe you're here. There's always going to be someone better, always someone worse. But God's holy standard for us is here. And that is what we need to measure our parenting and the way that we raise our children against is God's word, not what do other people think or what are other people doing. Because I myself, you know, have been in a pattern of caring a lot about what other people think. And so I just would admonish you to kind of examine, you know, and just pray over the priorities that you have for your family in that area. So anyway, when I look back on this past year and a half, really it is the story of God's faithfulness. And that's really the pervading theme in my life and through this experience that we've had. And so I'm just going to share some ways that God has shown, specific ways that God has shown his faithfulness to me and to my family. First of all, he's shown his faithfulness through his sovereignty. My son Lucas, he told me, they asked him at VBS, why can we trust Jesus? And he told me, he said the answer, because he is trustworthy. And I thought, that is the best answer, the most simplistic but true answer. Jesus is trustworthy, and that's why we can trust him. We, you know, my son Jordan, he grew up going to a Christian school, and then he ended up, now he's in eighth grade, so in seventh grade he ended up going to a public school. Well, the influences in the public school are different, and he wants to download, you know, some pretty questionable secular music, you know, to his iPod. And so our thing with him is that, well, we need to review the lyrics, and we need to determine whether it's something that would be appropriate. We want you to review them first, and if you don't think that it's going to pass mom and dad, then you're not going to get any of the songs that are on your list. So you should review them and make sure. And then when we find that we feel that you're trustworthy, then we can trust you to make those decisions on your own. But for now, we're going to kind of give you guidance in that area. And so it's a matter of, say, his performance in the past would help us determine whether we can trust him for future decisions. Well, God has proven himself to be trustworthy. His very nature cannot make him untrustworthy. And so whatever he promises is true. So when Lucas says we can trust Jesus because he's trustworthy, that is the answer to why we can trust him. Because he is true, he's faithful, he is good, he is sovereign, and all the things that he says he is. And there is never any reason to doubt, regardless of what our circumstances around us look like. So he is trustworthy, and so that is one reason that we can trust in his sovereignty. He designed his eternal purposes, so that his good, his glory and our good are intertwined. So he, I kind of touched on this before, he will not bring a trial into our life that will not ultimately result in our good and his glory. Romans 8:28, I know some of you are familiar with this passage, says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, this is very reassuring to know that God is working in all things, through cancer, through difficult marriages, through whatever it is, he is working for our good. Now, sometimes, though, I mean, those verses in verses 29 and 30 go on to say that it is being conformed to the likeness of Christ. So it is not necessarily that goodness that he's conforming us to and that he's using our circumstance for isn't necessarily what we want, you know. It is the goodness is conforming us to be more like Christ through what these all things that he's working in. And so in the end, our conformity to being more Christ-like does bring him glory, and it is for our good. But sometimes we don't always see, you know, we see just a limited view of what we think good should look like. You know, to me, maybe it should look like I want miraculous healing. Yes, I do want miraculous healing, but I can also trust that if it is not that, then it is also for my good and for his glory. Psalm 121, 3 and 4 says, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This is saying to us, and also a similar verse in Job 42, and Job is saying to God, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. So this is just speaking to the sovereignty of God over every detail in life. There is no such thing in a believer's life as coincidence. God is working every detail, whether we are on board or not. You know, in the story in Genesis of Joseph, you know, when he got his brothers betrayed him and he got put into a life of slavery, and then he later ended up rising to be the second in charge in Egypt. And when there was a drought, his brothers came over here and ended up asking him for help, and his brothers didn't recognize him, and he said to them, I know that you, you had planned it for evil, but what you had planned for evil, God had planned for good. And so he doesn't necessarily need our cooperation to carry out his purposes, his good purposes. And so his hand is upon those he loves. You know, we are, for those of us who are in Christ, we are identified with Christ, and we can identify with his suffering, we can identify with his righteousness, and that makes it to where when God looks at us, he sees Christ's righteousness, and so it's not possible for God to not love us and to want the best for us, because he sees Christ in us when he looks at us. You know, also in life, when we think about God's sovereignty, our greatest need in life is not to be free from adversity. You know, there are many things that that can be gained, you know, from adversity, but that's not the goal in life, is to be free from it. It's not, it's, nobody wants it, but there's fruit to be gathered from adversity. But the hardships in life don't compare at all with the tragedy or the gravity of not having the salvation of Christ and being separated from God eternally. So the sufferings or the trials or difficulties, whatever you want to call them, in life don't compare to to not having Jesus. So that is the biggest tragedy or suffering I feel in this life. And sometimes we question God's sovereignty because we don't understand what he's doing. It's not what we want. But how many times as parents have our kids questioned us because they don't like what we're telling them, what we know to be good and right for them, you know, whether it's no more ice cream or candy or whatever, you know, sharing, whatever the thing is, because we have their good for in our hearts, even though they don't like our sovereignty or whatever the circumstance that we're handing down, but it's for their good. And sometimes we're those kids that don't see the sovereignty of God in our lives. Trusting God is not a matter of feelings, but of will. Sometimes our feelings, you know, our emotions betray us. And sometimes we need to trust God even when we don't feel like it. It's a act of obedience. It's an act of trusting in the belief of the truth of his word. You know, many times I've felt that I don't want to. You know, things are too hard. I don't want to do this. I'm weary of treatments and getting poked and not feeling good and whatever. But it's a choice that we end up needing to make of whether we're going to trust when the things around us are not looking the way that we want. So we need to really pray about surrendering, you know, our hearts and our minds and our wills to the truth of what God says about himself, because his promises are true, and we need to choose to cast our anxieties on him. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, you know, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He doesn't want us to live in a life of anxiety. He wants us to live being able to cast us off. When my mom had this accident and she was hurt, and we were praying for her. We were in Mammoth and she fell off a bike, and my son, we had just gone fishing and that morning, and the kids were casting their fishing poles like this as far as they could get it. And then my son Jordan said, "Mom, I have the perfect verse for us," because we were worried about Grandma. She had gone in the ambulance to the ER, and I had the kids and all the cousins and everything. And Jordan said, "Mom, I have the perfect verse for this, you know, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him." And we were able to talk about what it means to, like, cast those things far away from us, like just throwing them. And God is ready to receive our anxieties because he cares for us. Another way that God has shown his faithfulness to me is through hope. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So not only do we receive comfort in this life, you know, the peace, the presence, the provisions of God, but we also have hope for the life to come. And to me, that gives me great comfort, because I do not want to leave this earth. I am not ready to go. But it is because I'm human. My mind is finite and unable to grasp the glories and delights that await in heaven. You know, Scripture tells us that our life here on earth is just a veil of what is to come, you know. And then one day we'll see face to face. So we're going to one day get to heaven and say, "Man, what were we thinking? Why did we want to stay on earth? It is so much better here." You know, but because we're human and limited in our thinking and our knowledge, You know, I want to stay. I want to stay. But it helps us to be heaven-minded about what to look forward to and the promise of what to come. And because of what is to come, I am certain of what my future will be, whether it's soon or whether God gives me more time. I know where I'm going, and I know who I will be with, which is Jesus. And so that gives me great hope to deal with whatever it is in this life that's to come. When Lucas, we enjoy traveling, our family. And one time we went to China, and we went, and Lucas must have been about 4, maybe, and we get up. It was a cloudy day, a rainy day, and we get up and we take off. And then, you know, once the plane breaks through the clouds, it's sunny, and then you see these big, puffy white clouds. And Lucas says, "Hey, where's Jesus? He's supposed to be up here above the clouds." And he's totally looking out the window trying to find Jesus. And we're laughing and stuff. But when I think about it, that is just so true. Just so how we're supposed to be. Just looking for Jesus. You know, those clouds are like the sun. I don't know. I went to college, but it did not occur to me until very late in life that even when it's raining, the sun is always shining. Okay. So the sun is always shining, you know, and that is like God's presence in our life. And so sometimes we're on the ground and all we see is these storms, you know, but the sun is always, always there. And I just think, oh, okay, well, we're looking for the silver lining, but that is not what we're looking for. We are looking for the sunshine, not the clouds. And that is just, I mean, I appreciate Lucas's simplicity in just that we're always to be looking for Jesus wherever we think he's supposed to be. I mean, I suppose, you know, for a kid that's, you see these pictures and he's up in the clouds, that's where you would look for him. But we want to be looking for Jesus and to be thinking about heaven-minded, because it's going to be great. One book that I just read, this is just kind of an aside, recently is called Heaven is for Real. It's just a really easy read. It was just about this little boy that basically he visited heaven, and then he lived to tell his parents about the experience, and his dad, who was a pastor, wrote these recollections down. And it's just such an encouragement about heaven, and it just makes you want to go there. So if you have an opportunity, it's just a very simple, easy read, but just really it gives you a glimpse of what heaven might be like, and just really gives you a longing to go to heaven. You know, I've been thinking a lot about heaven, more than I used to, of course, and I always thought of it more like a place in the far-off future that would be great to go to sometime. But in studying Scripture and reading accounts like this, and he's put an actual longing in my heart now to go to heaven. You know, it's up to him, up to his timing for when I'm going to go. But I never actually had this longing to go to heaven until, you know, recently. But now I just cannot wait to get there. I mean, I can, but I'm really looking forward to it, put it that way. So God has also shown his faithfulness through his provision. I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but he just has provided for our family in every possible way. And for our children to just be poured upon, you know, just with love and tangible expressions of support and prayer and gifts and cards, notes, you know, time spent with them, has just been a huge blessing. And for them to actually see the way that God is providing for us, and to know that in the future, if, you know, if God takes me earlier than we would like, that God will also provide for them in ways other than what they maybe are used to, but he will provide abundantly in their lives. You know, I have gotten to know Jen more recently, and I'm just so blessed by her. Sorry, Jen, I don't really want to embarrass you, but I just wanted just to say that I have been so blessed seeing just her and Mark and just the godly character and the blessings that they have been to so many people despite losing their mom at a young age. And it's just such an encouragement for me when I see just the fruit of their lives, that even though maybe it'll be hard for my kids, that, you know, that there's hope. And this life, they can bear fruit in this life, even if they lose their mom earlier than they want. So I'm just totally encouraged by Jen and, you know, some other people that I know that lost their parent at an early age. So thank you just for the inspiration that you've been and the encouragement that you've been. So God has given us provision in every possible way. But in a way, it's also given us an opportunity to minister to other people. You know, like I was sharing, it just gave me, it opened my eyes to being much more compassionate toward people who are suffering or sick or just in need in some way, you know. And just maybe as an encouragement to you, if you know of someone who's going through a difficult time, you know, just it's, I myself have done this where I have kind of just avoided talking to that person because it's awkward or you don't want to bother them or you don't know what to say, you don't want to say something inappropriate. And the people who have reached out to me, I have just been so blessed, but I can't think of anyone who I've said, oh, I wish they didn't call me or anything like that. I've been so blessed by people who have been willing to reach out to our family. And so whatever you feel, in whatever way, it doesn't have to be a meal. It doesn't have, you know, it could be just a text, how you doing? You know, just thinking about you today, praying about you today, in just some simple way to let people know that you are caring. Because it creates some, I don't know, awkwardness, I think, when people are going through something very difficult because you don't know how to respond. And it's just made me so much more sensitive to reaching out to people because we have been so blessed by people reaching out. And it's changed my perspective on really how to minister to people who are in need. God has shown his faithfulness in joy. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It says give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. God's nature never changes, you know, and it's because his nature never changes that we can give thanks. You know, he doesn't treat us kindly when our circumstances are how we want them and unkindly when they're not how we want them. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and because he never changes, we can give thanks, you know. But that's not to say that he is not looking out for every detail. He knows every detail. He knows every cell of my body, of what's going on in this cancer, and he is in control of what is going on. He, with a snap of his fingers, could change it. I mean, it's easy. It's nothing for him. He created the universe. He, cancer is nothing to him. And so if he's using this as a tool, you know, I'm going to find a way to give thanks to him within these circumstances because I can trust that he knows what he's doing. He knows what's going on. Nothing is too big or too small for him to pay attention to. There's also the encouragement that there is nothing that I personally can do that would make God love me any less than he already does. And there's nothing that I can do that can make God love me more than he already does. He just loves us, and he has proven that to us by his finished work on the cross. And so we can be thankful for the love that he has already demonstrated to us. And we don't have to live in vain efforts of trying to please God, and we don't have to live in guilt of over mistakes that we've made. That are in our past. I didn't write this down, but in Romans it talks about there is no condemnation in Christ. And in Lamentations 3:23, it talks about how great God's faithfulness is, and how his mercies are new every morning. His tender mercies are new every morning. And because of that, I have made pretty much every parenting mistake that you can make. I'm sure I've caused my children years of future therapy. And but the thing is that God is a God of grace. You know, we can come before him and repent and ask forgiveness and confess and come before our children or whoever it is that we can repent and confess and then be released, you know, accept the grace that he's given us to move on. We don't have to live in a life of guilt because he offers that if we confess our sins, that he is righteous, or I'm totally drawing a blank. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's see. Also, in that joy that we can experience, part of having joy is to have a thankful heart. There is nothing that helps me to restore joy into my life as to being thankful, because it puts me into a right relationship with God. You know, it puts me into a place of gratitude, of worship, and dependence. I mean, just admitting our utter dependence on God. And that's very freeing when you don't have to be the one to worry about all these things, that it's God who's in control, and that we can be thankful for the things that he provides us, and we don't have to worry about the things that we don't control. And so through that, being thankful, we can have joy in our lives. And within the midst of or independence of our circumstances, we can have joy. And it's true, deep joy that he talks about, you know, with the woman at the well. Just, it's living water. It's different than the kind that the world can give. So it's very deeply satisfying. I think that, maybe I'll just talk about this. I was talking about, the kid who, when our kids don't like the discipline or whatever that we're handing out, because they can't see the big picture of things. And my son Jordan, when he was young, he was fairly strong-willed, and he did not like to go in his car seat. And so he would, we'd basically have to stuff him in his car seat. We would get our hand, and he would arch his back, and we would push down on his hip to make it bend like the seat, and then we would hurry up and buckle up the car seat. And he hated just the feeling of restraint, and he hated not having freedom, but, me as his parent or my husband could see that, this is the safe place for him to be. We don't want him to get hurt. You know, he needs to be restrained and so we don't get an accident. He doesn't fly through the windshield. You know, we don't want to get arrested. And, but he can only see, I don't like this restriction, or I don't like the situation that I'm in. And I think that that's how I am sometimes with this cancer. I have resisted God, but I think that God has slowly, over the year, I spent the better part of a year just not wanting to be here in this place. But God has slowly moved my heart and my husband's hearts to be in a place of humble acceptance. Well, not always humble, of acceptance of his will for us, and to be in a place of submission to what he is going to do in our lives. You know, I just feel like there's this, like, this place of blessing, and by not being submissive to what his will of God, to what the will of God is for us, we were kind of like outside of this place where he wanted to bless us. And then once we decided to step under his will, he just like released the anxiety and the just fear or whatever questioning we would have. He just put us in a place of peace and contentment and trust once we determined that we were going to just be more submitted to his will. And so, you know, another one of my entries is that I was saying, sometimes I feel like the kid who doesn't like what is happening around me in my limited view, but within the depths of my soul, I know that my Heavenly Father loves me, protects me, and sees the big picture. I know that he is good and sovereign and all-powerful because his word says so. I know because I have peace beyond understanding. I know because he proves his faithfulness to us over and over. I know because he has kept us from despair. I know because every day we are overwhelmed by tangible blessings from others and uplifted by their prayers. We are learning to look beyond the good things he gives us and focus on the knowledge that his very nature is good. Because of this, we can wake up each day and smile, experience joy, and have thankful hearts. There are moments of sadness because that is part of living, but we have great hope for whatever our future holds. And so just in that, I think I'll just close and just encourage you to just trust in God's goodness. I hope that you never have to go through what I am going through, but there is blessing, there is great blessing and great joy in being driven to your knees and to just recognize your utter dependence on God. And so I just pray that you would have the clarity and just the desire to have that relationship with God and to just be in complete fellowship and dependence on him. It's a very good place to be. You know, and we know that God is good all the time. So thank you very much for listening. I had to bring my own friends because I didn't know if anyone would show up. So some of my friends are here too. But, you know, I just want to thank you. I don't know if we have time, but I don't know if anyone has any questions or anything that anyone might want to ask. Maybe I could just close this in prayer, if that's okay. Father God, you are so good and sovereign over every area of our lives, Lord. You love us beyond belief. You love us more than we can ever comprehend. And I just pray that because of that great love that you have for us, that we can put our full faith and trust in you, Lord, in your sovereignty, in your goodness, in your love, in your grace, in your justice, Lord, in your power, your might, your mercy, Lord. Father, we just thank you for these moms that are here today, Lord, and I just pray that their hearts would be transformed by your word, Lord, and by your spirit. Father, I just pray a prayer of blessing upon their families as they go out, and just pray that their hearts would be changed by you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.